This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Brewer is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what we get for number five this week?
We got National Dog Day. And, all right, it was August 26th. Congratulations. Everybody loves dogs. I love dogs. Everyone loves dogs. Dogs are awesome. But, like, I just feel like it's like people are using this as a personality quirk. Like, oh, my God, I love dogs, which makes me interesting. Like, no. Everyone loves dogs and all the dog slang, doggos and good boys. Like, it was funny the first time, but it's not funny anymore. And I know I'm sounding really negative because I am about this. National Dog Day is great. I was very excited to celebrate it. I'd like to actually give some shout out to some special dogs in my life. Brody, my main man, Lucy, Roscoe. Oh, man, I love dogs. But I think we just got to relax a little bit with the dogs stuff.
I have to agree. I get kind of like fur babies. Like, what is this? I'm not going to compare my dog to an actual baby, because if it comes down to it and it's post-apocalyptic time, I will eat my dog before a baby.
Wow. That's a good point. That's what we should, man. I wonder how many people would eat their dog before they died. I feel like most people would die before they ate their dog, honestly, which is insane.
Okay.
You've got to think about a survival situation.
And you know what? I will have to come back with how many news articles have we read of dogs eating people's faces because they were left without food.
Totally.
Boom. So the dogs do not care about you as much as you care about the dogs because, you know, they're thinking of survival. And I love my dog. My Chloe dog is so important to me. She is like a little baby. I put her in my purse and I take her everywhere with me. But if it comes down to it, she's a pair of socks. That's it.
Man, that is good stuff. Yeah, no, I agree. And, like, you got to get a dog. I mean, they're awesome. They give you so much happiness. But in a survival situation, eat or be eaten. Think about it.
What we get for number four?
We got Andrew Luck, and he retired from the NFL at the ripe age of 29 this past weekend, which is insane because this just doesn't happen. You know, like, yes, there's been some receivers and there's been some running backs that have retired before 30, but a quarterback who is incredible, by the way. So he's played seven seasons in the NFL. This would have been his eighth. He was only healthy for five. And in those 5 years, he made four Pro Bowls, and the Colts made the playoffs four times. He also just didn't have an offensive line, and he was hurt a bunch. But to see somebody with that much promise walk away from the game, I mean, obviously great for Andrew. Like, he's a multimillionaire. He's getting out while he's still healthy, and he has the rest of his life to go enjoy all of that money and success. But crazy to watch that happen. And also their Colts fans, like, booing him at the preseason game where he announced his retirement afterwards. I mean, it was nuts. Also, fun fact here, the last quarterback to retire the year after making a Pro Bowl before the age of 30, which is what Andrew Luck just did, was Johnny Lujack in 1952. And he had shoulder problems, and he also wanted to help his father-in-law run a car dealership, which is why he retired. I mean, that's how rare this is, 1952. So, I don't know, crazy stuff, but, I mean, obviously stoked for Andrew.
You know, when it comes to Andrew Luck, I mean, this guy has so much to look forward to. He just got married. He's got a baby on the way, or I think the baby's already here. So it's like, you know, why should he spend the rest of his life in pain? And he's already been injured quite a few times. I mean, people are saying, like, his ankle's all screwed up. No, this isn't like an Achilles thing. This is like straight up calf pain. This dude has been playing like in pain, and if he's not having fun anymore and he's like, I don't want to destroy my body, man, he should retire. And I don't think anybody should make fun of him for it. This guy is a great football player and he's taking care of himself, and he should be. I mean, you know, Colts, wait for the fans, but not worth your body.
No, definitely not. And Andrew's like, he's like the most pragmatic, intelligent quarterback in the game right now. I mean, he's just a really logical guy, and he's not going to walk away from this without considering all the options. He was obviously really upset at the press conference when he was talking about this. And, yeah, he has been super injured. It's just, man, yeah, it's it's wild. And I do think that generally the public perception, at least from everything that I've seen, has been super supportive. I mean, you can't knock the guy for doing this. Like, yeah, if you're a Colts fan, you can be super bummed out because now you guys are going to suck. But, I mean, you can't fault the guy for walking away from the game while he's still healthy. Because, yeah, you're right. He has been super injured in those past seven seasons. So, hey, good for him.
What we get for number three?
Man, there's so much to talk about with this. It's the VMAs. And I didn't watch any of it because whatever. But I just caught up a bunch of it on YouTube. So Taylor Swift opens with a performance of You Need to Calm Down and Lover, which it was actually incredible. And I think the new album is atrocious, and that's another conversation. Maybe not atrocious, but it's not good. And, man, it was an incredibly powerful performance. Lover is really growing on me. I mean, I could see that being the first dance at my wedding at some point. It's just a really good song. So that is awesome. I mean, Taylor's just, she's got a presence about her. And I shouldn't say the new album is atrocious. It's not. It's just, it's my least favorite album that she's put out, whatever. Then Missy Elliott does this performance of all of her hits, which was absolutely nuts. Get Your Freak On, Work It, Pass That Dutch. By the way, Missy Elliott is 48 years old. Also, they had the original kid, Allison Stoner, who was in the original Work It video, come out and dance 17 years later, which is so sick. And Lizzo performed Truth Hurts and Good As Hell, which was just so awesome. Some of the winners, You Need to Calm Down, was Video of the Year. Taylor Swift, apparently she mouthed What the F, and everybody like freaked out after she won. Artist of the Year, Ariana Grande. Song of the Year, Old Town Road. When are we going to get over that song? When is that going to die? Best New Artist, Billie Eilish, beating out Lizzo, and Maggie Rogers wasn't even nominated. All right, that's all I got.
Okay, we're going to go to Taylor Swift because I have a theory. I have a theory that because she has no boyfriend drama, that's why her albums suck.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe. It does feel like she's telling, like less of a story. I think, and it does lack some emotion,
yes,
for sure. I don't know. It just feels like she lost her musical identity. And obviously there are some good bops on there, and I'm probably going to have a couple drinks and be screaming the lyrics soon with all the bros. But I just feel like what I've loved about her in the past is her lyricism, her storytelling, and, like, I don't know, just that type of, like, innate sound that she's had, where she's totally all over the place now. It's super generic and, like, just appealing to the lowest common denominator of society, which is fine. I just expected a little bit better.
I expect so much more from her. I wanted more passion, not going to lie. I want that passion from her. And right now it feels like she just chose politics because it was the easiest thing to try to sound passionate about. And part of me wonders, and I hope this isn't true, did she jump the shark? Is this her Jump the Shark album?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I do think that, I don't know, maybe she's just evolving out of a place where, you know, she wants to make that, like, more generic music sound. I don't know. But I agree. I mean, a lot of her stuff is now politically charged. I mean, You Need to Calm Down is pretty political. So, I don't know. I mean, good for her. Like, she's going to make a ton of money with this record. And, like, everybody seems to be pretty stoked on it, which I'm kind of shocked. But the performance was great. I mean, I'm not going to knock her on that. She did great at VMAs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all those performances were, like, really great to watch. I didn't watch it live. I watched it on YouTube, the clips, because I'm not going to watch, you know, 2 hours for 10 minutes worth of entertainment. So,
but nah, that was kind of my same thing, too.
I think that's everybody's thing now. Go to YouTube. Get the highlights.
Right. Totally.
What we get for number two?
Greta Thunberg, who is a 16-year-old Swedish climate activist, and she just completed this 2-week journey across the Atlantic Ocean since she was sailing. Yet to get to Lower Manhattan because there's some protests in front of the United Nations on Friday. There's a big climate protest going on there. And, you know, a lot of people would have probably given her heat if she flew or took a private jet, or I don't know, maybe she's not taking private jet. She's 16 years old, but obviously she took the route that had a zero carbon footprint of her just sailing across the Atlantic Ocean under the power of wind, which is pretty awesome. I watched some of the videos that she posted. They hit some pretty big weather, some pretty big waves and stuff, but man, the boat that they were cruising on thing was slamming like 30 knots. I mean, it was nuts. Normally cruising ships like that, you know, sailboats don't move that quickly, so it was pretty dope. But she's been a climate change activist since she was, like, 8 years old. She said she learned about this and was like super bummed out. She said at age 11, she started getting pressed, stopped talking, stopped eating, and then she decided to take some action. So, yeah, she's kind of the face of this young activism movement. So, yeah, good for Greta. She made it here safe. Everybody in New York City was stoked. They went out and welcomed her. So, yeah, good for her.
Was it just her? It was a whole crew, right?
Yeah, I don't think she knows anything about sailing. I don't know. She might, but it didn't look like she was sailing the boat at all. She had, like, a crew with her and stuff. It was a pretty big ship.
What's really cool, a little tidbit about her, is that Meghan Markle, she said in British Vogue, she was one of the forces for change. I thought that was pretty cool, right?
Wow. That's pretty high praise.
Yeah.
Man, 16 years old. You look at, like, oh, my God. What the heck were you doing at 16? I mean, like, I was just doing absolutely nothing. It's really impressive. It makes me kind of sad that I wasn't, you know, a bigger influence in the world at 16.
Oh, here's another one if you want to feel bad. She was nominated for the 2019 Nobel Peace Prize. Good for her.
What?
Right?
Oh.
Right.
Wow. Greta, what is up? Man, that's
you
awesome.
Go, girl.
And she just got to sail across the Atlantic, which is like a dream of mine. I just joined a sailing club. I'm trying to get more into sailing. I'm going to sail across the Atlantic. So I got to talk to Greta.
She's going to give you some tidbits, how to tie a knot. Most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, knots are important.
What we get for number one?
We got Hurricane Dorian, and it's gaining strength out in the Atlantic right now, in the southern Atlantic. And also Spaghetti Models was trending as well. We'll get to that in a second. But, yeah, so the storm hit the U.S. Virgin Islands. It kind of dodged Puerto Rico, at least the worst of it, and now it's strengthening into a Category 4 before it's going to hit Florida over the weekend. And I guess Florida's kind of battening down the hatches. People are turning to Google, obviously, to figure out, like, where the storm is and how to stay safe. And then Publix, this grocery store chain down in Florida, is kind of, like, making light of it. They made a cookie cake that was decorated with the path of Hurricane Dorian. And they're marketing it as they have all the supplies you need for your hurricane party. And I gotta say, the cookie cake is a little bit insensitive. I mean, people might die. And you're out there just, like, making pastries about this, which is pretty funny, I guess. And then the Spaghetti Models is, like, these models of the storm and where it could go. And there's all these different lines. And it's the fastest computers in the world that are making these simulations, and it looks like spaghetti. So people are like, what the heck is that? So there's a lot of search interest around Spaghetti Models.
So I'm curious, how many categories are there in hurricanes?
Five? I feel like it's always around, like, three or four. There's got to be a five. Say five's eyes.
Yeah, there's got to be
five. Five's eyes. I have no idea, but I think five's eyes.
Because if it's four, like, if four's the biggest one, what do people do? Right. Do you move temporarily? Like, do you cover your house up? Like, how does this happen? I would just leave, but then I'd be afraid all my stuff. Wait, do you put it in a car and just drive off?
Yeah, I think you got to leave your stuff. You, like, bring, you know, you bring what you can. I think that there are evacuations happening in, like, really high impact areas, but I think you just kind of, like, batten down the hatches, maybe put up some sandbags or something. But I don't know. I think you just gotta bring what you can and get out of there, I guess.
Well, the governor called it already declared a state of emergency, so it's already
right.
Pretty bad. And it's like, man, I would leave. But I'm fortunate enough to have relatives in different states that don't have wild weather. So I know I could bunker down with them for a while. But, man, where would you go if you had no family? Are there shelters available?
Right. Yeah, there probably is. And you just kind of, I don't know, maybe drive a little bit more inland, because I think that, you know, probably the brunt of it is going to be on the coast. But yeah, man, scary stuff. I mean, obviously people are not super concerned if Publix is like, hey, get ready for the hurricane party. I don't know. I've never been in any hurricanes, so I don't really know how bad it is. But, I mean, certainly has caused some damage in the past. I hope everybody stays safe. It's looking like there's five categories of hurricane. So this is just under the highest one. So not good. Stay safe, Florida.
Yeah, go out. Make sure you Google all the information you need. And I don't know, go visit family for a while.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, go visit some pals. Get out of there.
What we get for our top YouTube video?
I've got Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, the D23 special look, 60 million views and counting. It is, yeah, the kind of upcoming look, teaser, trailer kind of thing for The Rise of Skywalker. I don't know. I thought it was fine. I didn't really get too stoked on it. I think Star Wars movies are not Stetsik. I don't know. I actually haven't seen any of them. I'm kind of personally boycotting them because I'd like, I mean, even when they put out the original, like episodes 1, 2, and 3, I was a little reluctant. I thought those were sick. But the new ones now, I just feel like it's straying too far from the ethos of the original 4, 5, 6. And yeah, I'm doing a personal boycott. I'm not going to watch. But I don't know. It looks entertaining. There's a lot of flashy stuff, a lot of fighting, a lot of explosions, cool lightsabers. Those continue to evolve. So I don't know. I mean, if you want to watch that, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I am, but only because I feel committed. I agree. It kind of feels like a cash grab at this point, but I'm gonna watch it just because I'm not going to waste X amount of years of my life, and I have to finish it. And I hope that Disney finishes it and doesn't continue to try to beat this dead horse. But I am a little bit curious because with this trailer, we saw Rey with the red saber. Usually that means that that's a bad guy. So right. I'm wondering if Kylo Ren is going to be like the good guy, and then Rey turns into the bad guy, and he has to bring her out from the dark side. Now, that would be a twist I could enjoy. But if it's some garbage, like she just picked up a red lightsaber, I'm going to be very upset.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. I mean, Darth Maul, he's got the red lightsaber.
Exactly.
You're right. Always the dark side has the red lightsaber. So, yeah, I mean, God, that was good. That's a good thing to pick up on. That does seem kind of what they're alluding to. They always have, like, you know, that type of storyline, though, of, like, you know, Anakin turning to the dark side and becoming Darth Vader. You know, it's like that allure of evil is sometimes too much to say no to. So that I think that's pretty plausible. I think you hit the nail on the head with that prediction.
And the title, Rise of Skywalker, Kylo Ren is the only one whose, like, heritage is Skywalker, not Rey.
Oh.
So maybe it's the rise of him. I'm hoping. Again, right. This is what I'm hoping for. So I don't know. This is just some theory crafting I've been doing. And again, I hope I didn't make it really big in my own head and be incredibly disappointed when I watch this movie.
Is this, like, supposed to be the last one? You know they're not. You know they're just never going to end it.
No, it's never going to
continue to see it forever.
Yeah, no. Oh yeah, yeah. Like with the Marvel stuff, like they're going to end it. Please, they're making billions of dollars. They're going to keep making these movies as long as people are paying, even if they don't make sense. So yeah, that's why I'm saying I'm hoping they have some coherent story here. Don't disappoint me, Disney.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I know it's such a. It's such an incredible franchise that they are kind of grasping at straws now, too. I don't know. Maybe I'll watch the new ones. I haven't seen any of them. They look generally entertaining. I don't know. Yeah, go see it. I'm being too negative.
Go see it if you want to, or wait till DVD. That's what I did for most of them, because then if I think it's a really bad part, I can fast forward.
DVD? What's how do you pronounce that? DVD?
Oh, I'm sorry. Laserdisc. Laserdisc. I meant to say Laserdisc.
Dude, hey, Laserdiscs were so sick, man. My
Weren't
dad
they?
Was so amped on Laserdiscs.
They were huge. They looked like giant, like, it was ridiculously huge. I felt like breaking them on purpose. I found them at, like, a thrift store. I was like, I just wanted to buy them just to buy them.
Man, and you had to, like, flip them, too, with two hands. Yeah, Laserdiscs were so sick.
All right, enough reminiscing. Thanks for joining me, Justin. Yeah. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, talk to you next week.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.